We're starting a new sermon series. Woohoo! Purposely made. And yes, that is a word. Google it. It means made with intention, with an intentional purpose. And that is you sitting where you are. You are purposely made. And we're going to talk a whole lot about this in the next 4 Sundays. You're really going to enjoy it. The purpose of this sermon series is to help you understand that you were created and assembled by God in a specific way to be who you are, to know that, but then also to know, but what is that then? And we want to take you through the whole journey. And if I just see this thing roll out the way I have it in my heart, we'll do little tests in small group to help you, like, figure out where you fit in and the whole tutti, okay? So don't go anywhere in the next 4 weeks. Make sure you get to church and small group so that you can grow in this area. Amen? Awesome. So let me just pray for myself. We've almost prayed for everyone. Let me just pray for me. I need it more. I'm not as holy as Theo, you see. So Theo, can I pray? Okay, as I believe so. Lord, I just want to thank you for the privilege I have to just teach on your word tonight. It's a privilege. It is my reward to be at your service. There's no reward that needs to wait somewhere. This is it, Lord, to minister to your people and to love them and to break open your word and to see how lives change. That is it, Lord. And for each one of us, Lord, as we just discover this thing of how you made us, Lord, how you shaped us. I pray that for each one, we will find an immense joy at becoming the person you made us to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight is part 1. I hope you have your little book here so you can follow with this month. If you don't have it yet, usually by tomorrow this time, the sermon will be on the server. You just go to shofaronline.org, go to sermon downloads, go to Secunda, and you can download a sermon and put it on your iPhone or whatever. But in any case, we're starting tonight with part 1, Shaped to Serve, right? We're just playing with this idea. We see the 2 hands with puzzles. You were purposefully shaped to be who you are, to accomplish what He wanted you to accomplish. Right, and there's many ways you can respond to that thing. You can fight that because you're not like anyone else, but you know what? It's time that you put on your own shoes and walk in them. Amen. Because you know what? There's a journey set out that only you can walk, and that's why you are the way you are. I don't care what people told you in the past; they don't know you like God knows you, and so they didn't have the opportunity to shape you, and it's no one's job to try and reshape you to be someone else. I'm talking about your personality or the way your faculties, you know, your heart, your spirit, and everything is placed together. You will change in your character. If you don't, you're not growing. Are you with me? You will grow in character. Hopefully you grow in your integrity. I want you to grow as a husband, grow as a friend, but that doesn't mean you change as a person. Are you with me? Very important. So, just to wake you up, you were not created to consume resources, all right? You're not created to consume oxygen and water and food. You were created to do amazing things on this planet, all right? And this has got nothing to do with how long you live or how much you earn. It's not about the duration. I like this quote from the one guy. It's not about the duration of your life. It's about the donation of your life. All right, and the only way you can, in a sense, donate yourself to this world is if you understand how you are wired. And we want to help you with that. Amen? So let's just head into this. This scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10, has become for us a little bit of an anthem in the last year or so. And I think God is really talking to us about this. As this church was planted, there was a few very key scriptures in Isaiah that God placed on the hearts of the people that were praying for this church. And it's like almost in the more modern times, this thing has been repeated in at least once a month. For we are His workmanship. In Afrikaans, you can say, ons is God se ambag, of sy vakmanskap. Okay? He is the one who's standing with the tools, and then, whoop, here you are. All right? You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus not just created, but for good works. That's you, for a purpose, which he also prepared beforehand, that you should not only think about it, but walk in it. So let me tell you what, on this road that you're going to take, there's going to be some injuries. Because it's not like a PlayStation game where you walk the journey with some other character and you jump. This is you walking. There's sprained ankles, there's hunger, there's thirst, there's hole, there's snoot. You have wonder soms wat maak ek. If it feels like that, you are on the right place. This is life happening to you, in you and through you. Hardcore, with opposition and support, with times of amazing worship, times of amazing opposition. If you feel sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low, you know what? You're actually doing okay. As long as you are moving, as long as you are walking. He called you to walk in certain things. Are you with me? And you know what? This, I think maybe there's a reason why as a church this comes back to us, because this is really a reality in our church. If you really look around, we kind of are all hands on deck church. I don't know if you've noticed that. Everyone's got their hand involved somewhere. And that's how church should be. That's why we show so short-staffed. We don't have a big office. It's only me and the Regis. But you know what? The staff is here. Everyone has found a place to be God's workmanship. We believe that if something happens in here, it comes out here. And so I'm glad with the way God is leading us. I'm glad that this is an anthem for us, the scripture. I don't know if you smart people, Carla, Carl, Warren, maybe you must just write a song about this or something for us, because it'll work. Right, we're talking about being shaped by God. Matthew 20, if you want to follow on the screen. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him, and they approached Christ with her sons. And kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." She wants positions of honor for her sons. And Jesus answers, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant. It is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were very mad at these other two guys pushing for some spotlight. All right? That's what happened there in verse 24. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them." Okay? In the world, it works like this. That's what he's saying. The leaders rules over the people, and the great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. All right? And Christ is just bringing them in and is giving them a bit of a pep talk. And he's explaining to them how the kingdom of this world works. He says when people get authority in this world, they take with that position power and they rule the people with a strong hand. Someone can be very humble. Someone can be into all kinds of lovely things. And the moment they become a leader in this world and God is not in their heart, they leverage that position to abuse other people. That's what Christ is saying. And we know it. Okay, it's not news for us. And then Christ says, but let me tell you about this kingdom that's going to rule the world for eternities. And this is how it works here. You come to serve those you love. The greatest leaders are the greatest servants. And of course, the greatest one is talking, who not only spoke about it, but laid down his life at the end to die for people to be saved. Amen? And so, tonight, the purpose of tonight is to give you three things that's going to kickstart you or maintain you in this place where God wants you to overflow for Him. You are shaped to serve God, right? I'm going to end up with giving you three things. But before I get to that, let me just quickly show you something. I want to quickly show you five truths. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to point it out. What Scripture says about you as a servant. All right. Number one, I'm just going to read through this. Firstly, you have been created to serve Christ. And there's that scripture we just read. All right. Talks about your creation. Before you were made, before all the tools was on the table and God breathed into you, He did it so that you may serve Him one day. All right. Number two, not only have you been created to serve God, you have been saved. Can you see the progression? You have been saved for Christ's works. So we know if someone does not know Him, they will not serve Him. If there's someone out there that does not know God today, Scripture says they were created to serve God, but it's not possible unless they know Him. Scripture goes on and says, okay, so now, if you are saved, let me say this again. This is why you are saved. He who saved us and chose us for His holy work. If you know Him today, you're one step closer. You have now become eligible to work for God because you know Him, right? And still, at this point, you can be a very good steward of that or a very bad steward, all right? And I pray for you guys. I pray that you will do well. Number three, you have been gifted. The Scripture is clear, as each one has received a special gift. There's many spiritual gifts, and you know what? In the next few weeks, we're going to talk through them all. So strap up your seatbelt. We're going to go for it. And Scripture says, at least you have one. At least. It says here, each one received a special gift, singular. So at least you are gifted with one thing. Now listen up here. Please don't get confused. Don't think, okay, but that person has got 10 gifts and I only have one. Here's the thing. Do with your one what you can do so that when the master comes back, he's pleased with you. Amen? Just 1 second. Awesome. Great. That's number three. Number four, you have been challenged to serve Christ. Now, more than this invitation we have and this info we get, Scripture says you are challenged to serve Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who made Himself nothing. It's not like He was worthless. It's not like, in essence, Christ was nothing. He intentionally lowered Himself in such a way that He became nothing. This talks about this leader taking, almost putting on the cloak of a servant for the sake of the people. It's a very intentional thing. And it's interesting how this world works, because we fight to be on top. I'm saying we, this world. You always fight to be the boss and you don't want to be at the bottom. Here comes the King of Kings and He fights for the lowest spot. And Scripture says, I challenge you to be like Christ. That doesn't mean you must fire yourself if you're a leader at work. It talks about the way you lead. Are you with me? The world must work. The world works the way it works because God orders it to work like that. There's people in authority. But here's the thing. You're not more important than the person that works on ground level. Amen? That's the only thing that Scripture says. And the way you lead, people know this. People know this. And then the last one, you will be rewarded for serving Christ. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Amen? You were created to serve. He called you and He saved you so that you may serve. He gifted you that you may serve. Placed stuff in you. So, die manne wat een bietjie van een turbo booster of iets in die kar het. Jy sit die ding verniet in nie. Jy weet, if you put that thing in your car, there's a reason for it. Jy gaan oopmaak, oopketels, alright? Now, you are gifted in certain ways to do amazing things. Don't waste it, alright? If God has placed stuff in you, wow, there was one small group, Peter and the guys, Anuela, that actually jumped ahead of me because they actually had small groups about this. Scripture says, stir up the gift that is in you. it's important that you're quite aware of it, because you don't understand it if you get a copy. Né? So we want to help you to discover that, and you will be rewarded for serving Christ. Amen? Now, just to give you a quick, just a look into what's coming up, if we go to the next slide, we're going to talk about your shape. And there's a nice little thing that we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about your heart. What's in it? Why does it operate? Why you get emotional about certain things? All right? Your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. We're going to go through all of them. All right? Just to point you into next week. Now, for tonight, we only have three things left. We're going to talk about these fountains of serving God. These three fountains, things that nourishes you. And if these fountains become stuck, if there's rocks on them, okay, if the wells are blocked, it will block you in your capacity to serve like Christ. You can also unblock them as the Holy Spirit shows you. But here's the thing about a fountain constantly flows. Even if it's a little bit, this is a tsunami, it's constant, it's there, it's fresh, it gives life. People have made wars around water, right? Now, you should war for this, because this is the essence of your heart that we're going to talk about now. It's important that you know you are called to serve. Without this, you cannot serve. Are you with me? The three fountains of serving God. I want to make a statement. I want to tell you, if there's someone, and I'll use Theo as an example, Theo and Estelle. Theo, you're in Shofar now for longer than 10 years, right? From the start. If you look at a believer that's been serving in the church, serving God's house, love the Lord, I don't care where they serve, but they've been enduring for longer than 10 years, you will find what I'm about to mention in their lives. Guarantee. Many people will serve the Lord for a small time and they will leave. Scripture tells it. It talks about the condition of the soil, all right? Maybe there's a plant that comes up and then comes a thorns and they are gone. These things, if you keep these wells unblocked, you will do well for years and years and years. Are you ready? Let me do this. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" It explains the situation where Christ was willing to stop. Christ also tells a parable of a man injured next to a road. He speaks of men that passes by, and there's one man, a Samaritan, who stops. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, it echoes the same sentiments. It says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will stop for me? And who will go for us?" It's a Trinity talking. Who will go for us? It's awesome. It's beautiful. "Then I said, here I am. Send me." The first fountain that you must protect with all your life is your availability for God. Everything stops here. If this thing is not alive, if this thing is not flowing over, you are over with serving. If you're not available, you're not available. Right? And so this speaks about what is important in your life, because you can't do two things at one time. It's just maths, right? You can't be in Malawi on missions and in Zimbabwe on missions on the same day. It's not possible. Right? So, where does your loyalty lie? Where does your availability, where is it drawn to? Is it drawn unto your Savior, unto your Maker? If so, well done. Keep the fountain open. Don't grow out of it. We've seen it many times in student churches. That's why it's been such a blessing to come to this church and just see working people. People that have to earn a living, that works very hard, worshiping God flat out. Because what often can happen when you're on a campus where there's a lot of students is this: the students go on missions, the students back the chairs, because they're full of energy. The students do all the food. And then as soon as they're married, now we're above those things and they block the fountain of availability and it's over. They become stale. Protect that well, that fountain with everything in you. Kick other stuff from your plate. If it does not belong there, don't let it contend with God. Other things will not influence your eternity. This is God. And He wants to use you, but you have to be available. Amen? Protect it with everything you can. There is two barriers. There's two things that's going to come against this. I want to go fast. Number one, barrier number one is self-centeredness. Please let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, why is self-centeredness such an interesting thing? Here's the thing. You've got a capacity. You've got a fountain that can feed. Are you with me? It can give, it can cause things to grow, people to drink. But if you drink it all yourself, you are not serving. You are self-serving. The moment you are self-serving with your capacity, you've stopped to be a servant of God. You have become your own goal. You have become your project. And it may be something very literal, like you serve yourself unto physical landmarks that you want. That vehicle, that car. It can also be something like you want to give yourself all your time. I don't know what it looks like in your life, but here's the thing. As soon as self-centeredness becomes a rock that's on your fountain, God cannot use you. You must aim out to be a servant of God. Right? These rocks, you must kick out of the way. Are you guys with me? Not only will this hurt your calling, this will injure most relationships you find yourself in. This will injure marriage. This will injure friendships, your work, at your workplace. But it starts with something that God has to say about it. He wants you to be serviceable to a world out there. Are you with me? Great. Barrier number two is perfectionism. Okay? Ecclesiastes of Prediker said, "If he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." It's just saying if those who wait for a perfect opportunity, that opportunity will never come. Right? You will never be perfect. I hope you are growing. That is very important. You should grow, right? And challenge yourself to grow. You must have an accountability partner. If you don't know what accountability group is, ask them at the Connect table. But you should aim to grow. But you will never be perfect. You know what? I should not be preaching if I must be perfect to preach. Because I'm not. Ask my wife. All right? But you know what? God tells me to do it, so I do it. That. All right? And you will not be perfect for everything that God tells you to do. What's not important, it's not important whether you're perfect or not. What's important is whether you are obedient or not. All right? So take that rock and lift it from your fountain. Amen, guys? Fight for your availability. And then the last one, I'm not going to say a lot about it. You can connect the dots. It's materialism. Christ just says you can't serve two masters. It's not impossible. It's not possible. You can't serve me and money. Okay, so that's just for note. I'm not going to talk about that. You figure out what that means in your own life. All right. Let's go on. We're talking about the three fountains. Number two, God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purposes and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying, listen, God did not call you because you're so amazing. He called you because He saw what you could be before the foundations of the world, and He started to form you, and He placed things in you. Now, listen up. He called you before you did anything to please Him. That's the tone he's on. Paul also writes, by the grace of God, I am, but I am. And here's your second point. It's gratefulness or gratitude, thankfulness. It's a fountain in your life. This thing must be open. If there's rocks that's blocking this thing, you are in for a rough ride. So deal with it. War for it, okay? Maak oorlog vir water, okay? If there's a thing on there, take it off. talk to that person or that project or that thing. Let it go. Take it off your well. Open up the gratefulness in your life. Now, let me just explain this. Scripture says, serve the Lord with gladness, all right? Why do people leave a country like this? Maybe they've got a job that pays well. They've got a great house. Why do they go to be a missionary in Pakistan? Why do people do that? Why do people take of their hard-earned earnings and support other people to the point where they don't have money for themselves? Why do people do that? I don't know. It's a mystery. But God does that to us. He gets you going with gratefulness. It's a spiritual thing. You should pray for it because it will give you a life. It's something that registers in your spirit where you are so grateful that you cannot help but serve outwards, even if it has to mean that you need to go where He calls you to be or take steps of faith. This is a mystery that I can't put my finger on, but I've known. I know people that worship Christ intimately register a gratefulness that you don't see anywhere. And this will keep you going for a long time. Let me just explain this more by just reflecting on the barriers. You've got two barriers with this. The first one is comparing and criticizing. This will steal your gratefulness. All right, and I'm going to explain it to you. The big question here is, why are you serving, or why do you want to serve? If this thing of comparing and criticizing enters into your heart, and you know the enemy is very sly, so he does it in a way that even seems noble, but be awake for it and ask the Holy Spirit to show you and remove it. If you compare yourself to someone else, one of two things will happen, and both of them will stop you from serving in the long run. The first thing is, I think about Hanu and I think, oh, Hanu is so lay. I serve so much better than him. And so what started as serving has become a place of pride for me. I'm so much better than Hanu. And you see what just happened is my heart shifted. I moved from being a servant to being a ruler. Look at me. I'm doing well. I'm doing great. And it blocks your well. Because if you serve from that place, people pick it up. Right? The way you lead, it's maybe harsh, or it's without love. It's self-entitlement. Okay? Criticizing in comparison is very bad. On the other side, I look at Hanu and I think, Hanu is so amazing. He can do everything so easy and he's just so committed. And you know what? I'm just really, really terrible. And you open your heart for self-pity. And you also can't serve from that place. Because now you're walking around and you just want to tap on the shoulder the whole day, and we need work to be done. Okay? We need stuff to happen, and you need people to tell you the whole time, ooh, skop ek jou ding om. Yeah. I'm sorry, Stel. So it doesn't matter which side it swings. Comparing and criticizing will be a rock on your fountain. Can you see that? It takes away gratefulness. If I should see Hanu serving in an excellent way, I should say, God, thank you. I'm not serving alone. Thank you for such a faithful man. If I see Hanu serving greater than me and say, Lord, thank you for such an example. Whatever he has, Hanu, pray for me. I want, you know, that, tell me your heart for serving. Impart it into my life. You know, you see how God can change you. That's how you take the rocks from your well. But deal with that, all right? Barrier number two with gratefulness is wrong motivations. Scripture says, whatever you do, work as for the Lord and not for men. Right? Now, there's two ways or two reasons you can serve. There's probably more than two, but I'm putting it in wide categories. Number one is you serve so that you may be recognized. Okay? Whether that's by God or by people. My motivation for being of service is so that God will be pleased with me, or so that someone will be pleased with me. That's your wrong motivation. The other one is, I am so grateful, therefore, here's my hands. I don't care who says thank you. I don't care who sees me. I don't care if I get a gift. I don't care if anyone sees me. I serve because I am overflowing of gratefulness. Wrong motivations will cause you to serve for a very short time. You will get offended and you will walk out of the door. And you're going to get dry. All right? You're going to lose the purpose why He shaped you, why He made you. And you know this. You've seen this before. And whether it's your workplace, we see it at the rugby club every week. If a believer is doing something because he overflows, all hell can break loose against him. He won't move. He will keep on doing the setup. He will keep on working faithful at Cecil. He will keep on playing at the rugby club with a good attitude. But if the motivations is wrong, the slightest offense, gone. Why are you doing what you're doing? If you're serving this church, who's talking to us, it's maybe members here. Check your heart. Make sure you are overflowing. It makes for sustainable, constant serving. And you will serve until He comes back. Don't worry if you're mature. Don't worry if you do everything right. Here's the thing. When He comes back, will He find you serving? You are doing well. Amen? And the last one. His Lord said to him, this is Christ, and He's telling the parable of the talents, and He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant, because a man came back, and the one were given a certain amount of money, the other one more, and when the master came back, these guys had to be industrious with their earnings or with what was entrusted to them, and two of them did well, and so the master came back, and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Number three is faithfulness. Faithfulness is what's going to take you the last stretch. When your legs are numb, your keel is droog. Faithfulness is going to take you all the way. And here's your barrier. Your barrier when it comes to faithfulness is discouragement. Right? Psalm 42 verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Here's David speaking to his heart like we just mentioned earlier. Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. He's talking to his heart. Trust in Him, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation. Watch out for discouragement. I'll tell you why. The enemy loves to put a bitter taste in your mouth. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to wonder whether you actually are of any meaning. We always have this thing, Murray will know about it, when we come back from missions, we always say, what do we say that last few days, Murray? We always say the mission is only over until you're back home in your house, everyone. Because you do amazing work out there, and when you come back, everything breaks. Everything breaks. You stop praying. It's the villa. It's the engines. Iemand se ouma's in die hospitaal. All hell breaks loose. Because just after you've done very well, He wants to come and put a bitter taste in your mouth. And sometimes through prayer, God can lead you to just navigate through those hindrances. Other times, it's going to be a part of your journey. You will get discouraged. Bad things will happen every now and then. There's amazing things as well, all right, most of the time. But you will suffer times when you wonder, why am I doing this? That thing of discouragement, see it as sin. And as soon as you register it, phone your accountability partner. Say, you know what, just encourage me, because there's a big rock of discouragement. And if you don't deal with it, you're going to step back. And it's going to mean you not being faithful. Amen? And so there's your three fountains. When we talk about you are shaped by God for service, and before we talk about these specific things where we're going to get to next week, know this, these things will carry you. If one of them is blocked, it won't work. All right? All of them needs to be open. all of them needs to flow. And now we can start talking. What is this gift? What is in my heart? What does he want me to do? Deal with this with a great urgency and a trust in God. Amen? Let's stand up tonight, everyone.